We want to do something if the Lord will let us, and especially this year. We've got some things in mind to try to do, and if the Lord will let us, we're planning to try to move out a little more for Christ. Some of the brethren are beginning to marvel a little bit because they have the feeling that some people are being cut off this year. There's some comments on it today, and they feel that I'm reacting a little bit different toward some people, and that God's leniency is not exactly as it has been in the past. Whereas I told them this year that it would be different. I told them, I said, now, this year, it will be different. God will slay thousands of people this year. And that this year, God will do things in a different way. There's been so much knowledge of God shed abroad in the earth, and so much mercy and grace as God has given to the people, that this year that there's going to be a great difference. And many people are going to lose out with God, and many people are going to be cut off. And already some are beginning to marvel. First, they didn't think too much about the statement that I made. But now, a number of them have come to me, and they said, Brother Pike, you know, this is happening exactly the way that you said it was going to happen, that we're already seeing this thing come to pass. And it is true. God is beginning to harden the heart of some of the different ones here at Bethlehem. And whereas they've had tender hearts before, and they've been willing to repent, they're getting to the place to where they're not so tender-hearted anymore. They're getting very hard-hearted and selfish, and they're willing to do their own thing and rebel and go their own way, and God is beginning to let them do it. You can always watch and tell when the wrath of God is fixing to strike, because God will let a man's heart become hardened, and He will let a man become selfish, and let a man or a woman begin to do their own thing and go their own way, and he won't bother them. Matter of fact, rather than stopping them, He'll let everything work out in a way to encourage them. And as it was with Pharaoh, when God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that He could destroy him, God will do the very same thing to people in this day when He gets ready to cut them off. As a matter of fact, this coming year, when we start school, if Jesus tarries, that is, there will perhaps be some of the children that was enrolled this year that there's a possibility they may not be enrolled next year. The reason is because the daddy and mother is not living for God, and they knew that the rules, or they know that the rules, and have known that the rules of the school is that they have to live for Christ. And their children are bringing all kind of things to school, saying all kind of things and insinuating things. And when we go to suspend them, or we go to correct them, or we go to send them home or whatever, then they come in like a whirlwind, daddy and mother, and they just have a fit about it, and they're going to be a big bully and slang their weight around and, you know, tell us we can't do that. And if we go to correct their children, you know, we don't have any authority. And folks, with all love and respect, that won't work at Bethlehem. You might be a bad fellow and a bad woman, but it won't never work at Bethlehem. No matter how bad you are, you might as well get that out of your system or go on your way, because it'll never work at Bethlehem. I can assure you of that, because nobody here is moved by that kind of thing. And we don't have any respect for that kind of thing or that kind of people. And if we can't have any authority to correct, to try to love, to tutor, to work with your child, then it's for sure that they won't be going to school at Bethlehem. So you might as well think that over and decide, you know, what you want to do. This year, the Lord is doing some different things. Let's turn over to the book of St. John, chapter 3. One thing that we won't tolerate, and that is a teacher abusing a child or another child abusing a child. If we find it in any way, we'll do something about it, and that's what the men's meeting is for, is so that it can be presented in a gentlemanlike way in the behalf of the child, in the behalf of the school, the kingdom of God. Should there be such a problem, that you come like a man should and help us to keep our school in good shape, to keep your child from being abused and my child from being abused, that we all work together as one that loves one another, to be one unit. But at the same time, we have to have some understanding, some kind of control. And if a person is real touchy about their children, that you can't ever correct them, then we don't want people like that affiliated with our school whatsoever, because we don't have time to mess with people like that. Children are children. They need correction. My children need correction. Your children need correction. Doesn't matter how good your child is or what you think about him, he still needs correction. God's terminology for my child and your child is that the spirit of foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and a rod of correction will drive it far from him. And that he needs tutoring, that he needs to be taught in the things of God, and that he needs consideration, love, and understanding, and that we are to offer that to him. And that you've got to work with us in doing that very thing. Chapter 3, if you've got your Bibles, the book of St. John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I want to read just a little bit more here. It said, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except he be given him from heaven. He here says, bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth and rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus goes on over into the 23rd and the 24th verse of the 4th chapter. He says here, let's read the 19th verse of the 4th chapter. Beginning at the 19th verse, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, in this third chapter and in the things that I read out of the fourth chapter, there is an awful lot said concerning the kingdom of God. There's things said here that is so deep that it would be utterly impossible for anyone to comprehend these things except God give it to him by revelation. There's absolutely no way that you can understand it except God reveal it to you by his Spirit. He says here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Jesus says, marvel not in that I say you must be born again. For he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now this is what we were saying just a little bit ago. There is one dimension for one kind of people, and there is another dimension for another kind of people. There is one dimension that is a fleshly dimension, and if you are born of the flesh, then you dwell in that fleshly dimension. Because if you are born of the flesh, then you are flesh. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, we're all flesh. No, we're not all flesh. The Bible says he that is born to flesh, he is flesh. that which is born to flesh is flesh, so then we're all not flesh. For he that is born of flesh, he is flesh. That means that there are people here tonight in this assembly or this evening that are flesh. Scattered across the world, there are people that are flesh because they are born of the flesh. But that doesn't mean that everybody in the world today is flesh. If it does mean that everybody in the world is flesh, then what does Jesus mean when he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit? Now you would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm born of the Spirit. Then if you're born of the Spirit, the question is, are you flesh? Are you flesh if you are born of the Spirit? Are you listening? Someone would say, well, I know that I'm flesh, but I'm born of the Spirit. Then if you are flesh, when you've been born of the Spirit, then that makes the Word of God of none effect. Because if you are flesh, when you are born of the Spirit, then that means that you can be spirit when you're born to the flesh. Why not? If one will work one way, then why doesn't the other work the other way? See, to begin with, it is utterly impossible to be born of the Spirit and still be flesh. There is no way, my brother, sister. He that is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's why I made the statement, there is no way that you can understand these wonderful things of God in your natural mind. It is impossible for you to understand these things that Jesus said. They are so exceedingly deep and so great that there is no human way that you can understand what God is saying in your carnal mind or in your natural mind. When Jesus was talking to Peter, Jesus said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, such and such. But he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter could have said, well, I say that you are a man, that you are flesh and bones. I'm looking at you and you've got eyes just like I've got eyes, and you've got hands just like I've got hands. And you are a human being just like I'm a human being. But why did Jesus then say to Peter, why? What does men think about me, Peter? Who do they say that I am? Now, why did he ask a question like that? Why would Jesus, a human being, come up and ask another human being what people were saying concerning him? Who do men say I am, Peter? He said, well, some say that you're a prophet, and some say you're one of the old prophets has returned. Some say one thing and some say another. But he said, Peter, who do you think that I am? Or who do you believe that I am? What do you think about it, Peter? And isn't that something? Why is Jesus asking Peter such a question? Why did he do that? Peter said, well, I'll tell you what I believe. He said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Said, now this didn't come from seminary, and this is not intellectual definition. This is not something that you've learned or something that you've come up with out of a brainstorm, Peter. This is not something that you've got out of your intellectual reasoning. He said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. Because, Peter, there is no way that you could know that except God had told you.
Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. He said, but my Father which is a spirit, my Father which is in heaven hath made this known unto you. Peter, because you've recognized God on this earth, and because you have looked beyond the veil of humanity, and because you have seen God in the flesh, I say unto you that thou art Peter. But upon this rock that you have recognized, Peter, the Bible said, who is a rock but our God? He said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of God. In other words, he said, Peter, this fleshly veil that stood between the innermost God and you as a man, he said, you penetrated this veil, you've opened the door to my human personage, are my human being, and you walk past my body, you went right through my body, you've opened a door, Peter, you've got a key. I say unto you, Peter, you've got a key. The Heavenly Father gave you the key to the mystery, and you've opened the door to the entire world. Not only to the Jews, but to the Gentile and to the entire world. And now the door to the kingdom of God is open. And Brother John saw it when he wrote about that revelation in Revelation 4. He said, I looked and a door was open in heaven. And Jesus, just as much as to say, Peter, there is a door that's open in heaven, and I'm fixing to go to Calvary, and this veil will be rent in twain, and this door that you have the key to is forever open to all that can believe and all that will pass through this door. I am the door, Peter. I'm the door to the sheepfold, and Peter, you've got the key to the door. You've opened it. That's why Peter stood up and said, be baptized in the name, because I've opened the door, and everyone that is baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ Jesus, and you can enter into Christ Jesus right into that great ark of that door that God has opened. Walk right into this great body of Christ and be baptized by one spirit into this one body, because I have made a great discovery, Peter said. For I have found God in the flesh. Who do men say that I am? So then, he that is born to the flesh is flesh. The man that is born to the flesh, he is flesh. He hath a world to dwell in. He has a dimension to live in. Because he is born to the flesh, God has given him the world. And the land of Esau is before him. Because God will give him wealth, and God will give him the natural things, and God will give him the birthright in this natural world. Because he is a natural man, this is his natural inheritance. God will give him the passions of the flesh, and let him yield to the passions of the flesh. And God will give him the world and the land of Esau. God will give it to him because he is born to the flesh. He can have the money. He can have the world. Because he is born of the flesh, all of it belongs to him. Because he is born to the flesh. But the Bible said, he that is born to spirit, he is spirit. The person that is born to the spirit, he is not made for this world. Because the Bible said he's not of this world. You're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world, God said. You're not of this world. You don't belong to the land of Esau. You haven't been created for this world. Because you're not born to the flesh. You're born to the spirit. But somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you know and I know that you was born of the womb. You know that you was born to the flesh. Just like I'm born to the flesh. But did you know before the world ever was, Before this world ever came into existence, God saw you and God saw me, and He saw us down through the telescope of time. God looked, and through that extensive view of God, God saw me and you, and one of us was fleshly and one of us was spiritual. One of us was the Son of God and one of us was the Son of Man. Did you know that? God saw that one of us belonged to Him and one of us belonged to mankind. And so then God, looking down through the telescope of time, He saw that one of us was a Son of God that come from the very loins of God, and that we was a spiritual being, and that we belong to God who is a spirit. John says that God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship God in spirit and must worship God in truth. And so then God saw us down through the telescope of time. And He saw that we were spirit and that we are sons of God even before the world ever was. And God sent His Word, and God brought us to Him by His Word. And though we came through the same channels, and by the same means that you did, yet we are born of spirit and we are spirit because we are sons of the living God. Our Father is a spirit and we are born of our Father. Therefore we are spirit. God is our heavenly Father and we are a spirit. We are sons of God. We that are born of the Spirit, we are spirit. Jesus said, Nicodemus, marvel not. That I say unto you, he that is born of the Spirit is spirit, and a man must be born again. Don't marvel over that, Nicodemus. He said, for the wind blows wherever it listeth, and he that is born of the Spirit, said he is like the wind. He is like the wind. When he is born of the Spirit, said you don't know where he comes from, and you don't know where he goes to. Isn't that wonderful? You can't tell where I come from, can you? You don't know where I come from, do you? Jesus said, Peter, who do men say I am? And he said, not only that, but you don't know where I'm going either, do you? Thomas said, hey, he said, where are you going? He said, tell us where you're going. He said, we want to go with you. So then, we that are born of the Spirit, we that are sons and daughters of the living God, we that come out from the loins of our heavenly Father, we are not of the flesh. Therefore, if we are not born of the flesh, how then can we die? How can that which is eternal die and pass away? If we never had a beginning, how can we ever have an end? Anything that doesn't have a beginning could never have an end. How could anything that doesn't have a beginning find a terminal point of life? That which never did have a beginning, how can it ever have an end? There was no beginning to me. I had no beginning. Therefore, how can I ever have an end? Jesus said, I am, I was, I am, and forever shall be. How is it that which never had a beginning, how can it have an end? Brother and sister, he that is born to the Spirit had no beginning. He that is born to the Spirit hath no end. Because when we are born of God, that means that we was from everlasting to everlasting. That means that we're without beginning and without end. That's why God said to Jesus, He said, you'll take those that are of the flesh and those kingdoms and those great priests and those great kings. He said, and you'll fold them up like a garment and you'll lay them away. He said, and they'll perish and they'll wax old. But He said, Son, I say unto thee that thy kingdom, O God, He said, is from everlasting to everlasting. Before the world ever was, you are. And He said, to your kingdom there shall be no end. There shall be no end to your kingdom. Therefore, Jesus said to Nicodemus, said, are you a ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus? Are you a master of Israel? Are you a rabbi? And you don't know these things and you don't understand these things? Said, no man has ever ascended up into heaven, No flesh and blood has ever gone into heaven. For the Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He said no man has ever ascended up into heaven. No man. But yet Jesus came, took on the form of humanity. He took on the form of a human being. And he declared before Nicodemus that he had entered into heaven. And he declared before Nicodemus that he knew what heaven was and that he had entered into heaven. And he said to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, the Son of Man is still in heaven. He is still in heaven. And here he was talking to Nicodemus. Here he was talking. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? How can this be? He said, I don't understand what you're saying. How can it be? You're telling me that the Son of God is in heaven. And yet you're the Son of God. How can these things be? He said, I don't understand. He said, well, I've told you about earthly things. He said, you didn't believe those things and you didn't understand those things. He said, how are you going to understand and believe if I tell you about heavenly things? In other words, what's the need of me trying to explain it to you, Nicodemus? You can't even understand the part I'm trying to tell you. See how wonderful it is to serve God. See what it means to be a real child of God. See how far the world is today from knowing the reality of Christ. They're just as religious as they can be. They shout and they run and they jump and they holler. They have their church services, but they know nothing about God or God's way of life or the things of God. They're not spiritual. Paul said, I would speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're bathed in Christ, I cannot. He said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So then, folks, what we need to do is come before God like children. We need to talk to God. We need to call on God. And we need to say, now, Lord, we understand that we're not spiritual, but you are a spirit, and we want the spirit of revelation. And we want you to put the spirit of revelation in our heart. And we want you to reveal to us, God, these great, wonderful things of revelation. We want you to tell us what you're talking about. We want you to make us to know, what do you mean, Lord? He that is born of spirit is spirit. Lord, I've got flesh and bones. I'm a fleshly person. I'm a bony person. But Lord, how can it be that I'm not fleshly, Lord? How can this be that I'm not fleshly? I'm born to the Spirit, God. I know that I'm born to the Spirit. How many of you believe you're born to the Spirit? Let me see your hand. How many of you then believe that you're not flesh? Let me see your hand. Now, how many believe that they're telling a lie? Let me see your hand. So then, when the Lord says, he that is born of spirit is spirit, there can't be but one answer to it. And that means that by the foreknowledge of God, that according to the purpose of God and the predestination of God, that God sees us crucified with Christ, buried in water baptism, that our person is buried in the water. Our human being doesn't exist anymore. Our flesh and bones is not in existence anymore in the mind of God. But we are born a quickening spirit and alive forevermore in Christ. Now, that takes in a lot of territory. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that if I'm buried in the water and there's no more of my natural fleshly man, then why do you keep finding fault with my natural man? What's the matter with you? Somebody say hallelujah. You must not be born again. Having eyes you see not. Why is it you keep finding fault with these children of God? There must be something wrong. You must not be born again. The Bible said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No man can condemn them. God has justified them. They're without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. Now, Here's the thought. If I am buried in baptism with Christ, if my natural man doesn't exist anymore, then why do you look at me as a natural man? Why do you regard me as a natural man? Why do you speak to me as a natural man? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that's the way we're supposed to do it. That's not the way the Bible teaches it. And besides that, how can you do it anyway if it's not there for you to do it too? You must be having strong delusions. God said He would send you strong delusions if you didn't believe what He said about the situation. Are you listening? God said, I will tell you the truth. And if you don't believe the truth, I'll send you strong delusions. I'll let you believe a lie or cause you to believe a lie, and I'll let you be damned. I'm telling you the truth tonight. If a person that has been born again is spirit, if God never sees him as a human being anymore, if he is buried in the water, and the Bible said as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and the Bible said the last man, Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. And Paul said, it's not you living, but Christ that lives within you. And the life you now live, you live by the Son of God. Hallelujah. If we be buried with Christ, we shall also reign with Him. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Now, the Bible says that you are not to know me after the flesh anymore. And you're not to know any man after the flesh anymore. Is that right? You're not to know me after the flesh anymore. How then can you know me after the flesh if the Bible said you're not to know me after the flesh? It means God is sending you a strong delusion. Because if I'm born of spirit, then I am spirit. And if you know me after the flesh, then you're having strong delusions and you're seeing lying vanities. Because you're seeing something that doesn't even exist. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, I think you're crazy. No. The Bible said calling those things that are not as though they are, those things that are as though they are not. If God said they're here, then they're here, my brother. If God says they're not here, as far as I'm concerned, they're not here. Somebody said, now you can't do that, Brother Pike. That's getting the radical. That's getting beside yourself. I guess Nicodemus felt that way about it when Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, when that little servant came over there to visit with that great prophet in the Old Testament, and he was all tore up and all frustrated, and he didn't know what to do. He said, the armies are coming and they're about to run us down, and it looks like we're going to be killed in spite of all. That fellow just stood there, that prophet stood there, just as calm and collective as he could be. He wasn't disturbed about nothing, and this other fellow was just all tore up. And he said, well, what are you worried about? He said, well, the army is coming. The alien powers are coming. He said, but don't you know there's more with us than there is against us? He said, well, what about all these that's with us? And that poor carnal man that was having strong delusions, he was looking everywhere. And for he couldn't see nothing heavenly because of the strong delusions he was having. All he could see was them enemies that he thought was coming. And that prophet, you know, he prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. And then about that time, he quit having strong delusions and he looked. And there was all of those great mighty powers, them angelic powers, them prancing horses and chariots of fire. Now, where are those things? Somebody said, well, I believe that. Well, where are they at? Where are they at? If you believe that, then you believe the other part. And if you believe the other part, then you can see that. If you can't see that, it's because you don't believe the other part. Isn't that right? You're having strong delusions and you got self in the way. You got your mind on self. And every way you look, you see self. All of your thoughts is for self. You're selfish. Problems. You cause problems. You are problems. All that you see is problems. Everything that you start to do turns out to be a problem. Why? Because you've got strong delusions. You're not walking in the mind of Christ. When the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You don't have the mind of Christ. That's why you have problems. Brother, sister, there is no problems in the mind of Jesus Christ. There is no sickness in the mind of Jesus Christ. When a man has the mind of Christ, he doesn't have problems. When he has strong delusions, then he doesn't have the mind of Jesus Christ. We that are spiritual, we that are understanding spiritual things, we are supposed to be grown up in the Lord. We're supposed to be going on to understand this other dimension, to where we can have the things of God. The world out there doesn't understand what we're saying. And even the church world doesn't understand what we're saying. They don't understand it. Just like these two boys that just left. They're fine boys. And they come from fine churches. But the churches they come from are not spiritual at all. Those men, I've talked to both of them, and they're fine men. But they know nothing about the spiritual things of God. What is it? It's your responsibility and my responsibility to preach the gospel and to get to those people and try to tell them something about God and try to reach them. It's our responsibility to do something that will help them wake up from the careless, cold place of death that they're dwelling in. That's why we preached this sermon the other day that we did. The last sermon that we preached here was God has cut the people off out there. There is another dimension. There is another world. God has a spiritual people. We that are born to the Spirit, we are spirit. We are not natural. We are born to the Spirit. Therefore, we are spiritual beings. There are angelic beings around us, and we are with angelic beings. And we are fellowshipping angels. While you're eating and drinking and going your way, we are fellowshipping angelic beings and having a heavenly time. God said to Elijah, Elijah, what doest thou here? When he was over at the cave, it was because he was a spiritual being. I wonder today how many spiritual people that we've got at Bethlehem. How many people here are really spiritual? When you think back of the great man Elijah, here he was having killed all of the prophets of Baal. The Bible said he had slain them. And Jezebel said, I'll kill you because of it. So he runs for his life. Goes a day's journey into the wilderness. Sets down under a juniper tree. And there he is saying, let me die. A great spiritual man. Growing weary, all of a sudden, lays down and says, let me die. Now remember, Elijah wasn't in the day that you're living in. And Christ had never come to spill his blood for sin at that time. And here he was under a juniper tree, saying, let me die. So he went to sleep. And while he was asleep, here come an angel and baked him a cake. The Bible said the angel told him, said, wake up. Wake up, Elijah. Wake up and eat. And said he awoke, and he looked, and there was a cake that had been cooked on the coals. And here was a cruse of water at his head. Said he woke up. He ate the cake. He drank the water. He lay back down and went to sleep again. You think, my dear God, an angel come by, how could you sleep for the next month? But Elijah just is apt to get up and say, well, thank you. Appreciate the meal. I'm still sleepy. And the angel came back over and said, Elijah, wake up. You need to eat again. Elijah, he got up and ate again. And the angel said, the trip you're fixing to take, it's going to be a long trip. And said, you're going to need all the strength you can get. And said, this journey's too great for you. Said, you better eat all you can while you can. Said, because the trip you're fixing to take's a long trip. The Bible said he arose and he ate and he drank and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights over to Mount Horeb, and there in a cave met with God, trying to find the mind of God, trying to find the will of God. And we talk about being spiritual. My, if an angel had come and just said hello, he wouldn't have had to bake the cake. If it had just said, hello, I pass by your place. Well, I would have been the most spiritual man on earth. We didn't worry about going to no cave to get spiritual. We'd wrote books about it, and we could have preached for the rest of our life. But here was a great man of God, a great spiritual being. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the thing is, we don't have anybody like that today. We don't have anybody like Elijah today. There's a greater than Elijah here. Amen. But Brother Pike, think of all of those great powers and patriarchs. We don't have anything like that today. Why get excited, Brother Pike? There's nothing like that today. Friend, let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you. There's something here far greater than Elijah. Far greater than Elijah. Elijah longed to see the things that we see and longed to hear the things that we're hearing. The Bible said many great men desired to move into this and to understand what we're understanding. You've got the greatest chance of any lifetime on the earth. The Bible said the end of a matter is better than the beginning. There has never, since the beginning of mankind, there has never been an age, not even the age of Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, there has never been an age like this age. Not even the age of Paul the Apostle. Even Paul did not have this age. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pine. I think you're going too far. You haven't really seen how far I've gone yet. So you don't know. If you think I've gone too far just by what you've seen, just wait till you really see. Somebody said, well, I never heard the like in my life. It's exciting. Hallelujah. So then, we that are born of spirit, we are spirit. God never again at any time sees me as a human being. Not only that, but God never sees my mistakes, never again. From the time that I was born again, God has never seen a mistake. God has never seen a spot, never seen a blemish. God has never charged one thing against me since the day that I was born again. Not only that, but brother, before I was ever born again, he didn't charge nothing against me. Before I was ever born into this world, before I ever came into this world, God slayed in his mind Jesus Christ. And God gave the blood for the atonement. And God took away all of my sins and all of my trespasses and all of my wrongs, and God made me perfect forever before I was ever born into the world. But brothers and sisters, we've got to remember one thing, that by the same token, God also appointed unto death and condemnation brute beasts that was made to be taken and burned. He also appointed men to be devils, for Jesus said that Judas was a devil when he chose him. And the Bible, before Judas was ever born, said he was to be born the devil. Somebody say amen. Before Judas was ever born into this world, as a natural person, there was prophecy that came forth from the mouths of the prophets that said he was a devil. He would come into the world as a devil. Said, let another his bishopric take. Read it in the book of Acts. When they appointed another one to his office, said, as it is written, he hath gone to his place. That is, he has gone to the place that God appointed him before the world ever was. And said, Judas, having gone to his place, said it fulfills the scripture. Said it fulfills the scripture that said, let another his bishopric take. So then we see how great and how mighty this thing is. How wonderful it is. Elijah didn't know this. The great men of old didn't understand this. But we are made to see this and we are made to know this. And God has brought us to this wonderful, great, exciting moment and this great hour. Somebody would say, but why is it so great and exciting, Brother Pike? It's great and exciting to me to know that I can live forever. Might not excite you, but it excites me. And one reason perhaps it doesn't excite you is because you don't believe it. And because you don't believe it, you're not going to live forever. So how could you get excited? But brother, let me tell you, when you believe this and know that this is the truth, then you get excited because it's a wonderful living reality. So then Jesus said, Peter, who do men say that I am? Who do they say that I am? Jesus said, well, I tell you, Peter, I come from that world, and I come from my Father, and now, Peter, I go back to my Father. Somebody would say, well, what are you talking about, Jesus? What are you talking about, Brother Pike? He didn't go nowhere but to the cross, and they killed him. Just like you and everybody else, Brother Pike, you're going to go to the grave. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, I come from the Father, I come from the Spirit, I go back to the Spirit. He was a Son of God. He was a Spirit. Somebody would say, well, he was a man just like anybody else was a man. They nailed the nails in his hands and he bled just like a man. And he died just like a man. But the Bible said the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, after you die, you can become a quickening spirit. After Jesus died, he became a quickening spirit. Jesus didn't have to die to become a quickening spirit. If Jesus had to die to become a quickening spirit, I ask the question again. How was it that he walked up on the Mount of Transfiguration and appeared in glory the way he did? How did he do that? And how is it that Paul went up to the third heaven? He was flesh and blood. How is it that Moses and Elijah appeared in glory? How is it that Enoch went off to glory? How is it that these things can be, Nicodemus said. How can it be? I tell you how it can be. Because he that is born of spirit is spirit. How was it that Ezekiel could float around in the air and get up out of the place over here and ride through the air and sit down in the valley somewhere? How could he do that? It was because of the Spirit. How could Moses stay up on the mountain the way he did and not eat and drink for 80 days? It was because of the Spirit. It was because of the Spirit. How could he stay alive? In that day and at the time that he departed, the Bible said the natural sources of his body wasn't even abated. He was still a young man. Somebody said, at that age, why wasn't anything? Look at Enoch. Look at Noah. How did they do it? Somebody would say, well, you know, when this flesh. But remember, when God is in the arrangement, the whole situation is different. I tell you again that flesh don't wear out. We say, well, flesh wears out. A good 75 years and that's it. But remember, Sarah, Remember Abraham? Remember the son in the old age? See, the body does not wear out. The body doesn't wear out. Then what causes death? What causes this thing to be like this? What causes us to pass away? What causes us to be put in the grave? It's because of sin. It's because of strong delusions. It's because we don't have the mind of Christ. We don't believe what the Bible says. What caused Eve to do like she did? What caused Adam to be in the condition that he was in? It's because they didn't believe what God said. What causes you to be put in a casket and be put in a hole? It's all because of sin. It's all because of unbelief. The body doesn't wear out. Brother, sister, this body is made to last eternally. It is made to last eternally. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I just don't believe that. I believe this body will wear out and God will put us down the grave and then after a while He'll give us another body. Let me tell you something. I say this again, that if God put Jesus Christ down in the grave and brought Jesus Christ up with another body, it wasn't a true resurrection. If it wasn't the same Jesus and the same flesh and the same bones, it wasn't a resurrection. It wasn't a true resurrection. And all of the Word of God is of none effect. And it's not true. The body doesn't wear out. It doesn't wear out. Scientists have learned that there's not anything that God made that can be destroyed. Not one thing, not one tree can be destroyed. Not one bone can perish. Not one hair of your head. Not one thing can be done away with. That's why they can go back and pick up the carbons that they say is millions of years back. See, there's nothing that can be destroyed. And if you've got the mind of Christ, then that means that God will eradicate from your mind, from your life, from your heart, from your being, all of the strong delusions and all of the infiltrations and all of the lust, all of the thirst, all of the hunger of the natural man. And you will be a spiritual being, a spiritual son of God. You will be a God. You know, even the devil knew that much. We ought to at least know that much. Even the devil told the people that much. He said that the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge, you'll be as gods. Even the devil knew that. God allowed him to know that much. How much more people that eat of the tree of knowledge becoming gods? How much more if they are gods? How much more hath God made us gods that believe God's word that says we are gods? Jesus said, you're gods. You're gods. What are gods? Something that cannot die. Something that cannot perish. Something that's made to live eternally. He that is born of spirit is spirit. And I know I'm not getting a very good response because you're not very spiritual. But nevertheless, it's still wonderful anyhow. And for those that it's intended for, they'll get it and they'll live it and they'll feed off of it. And they'll move off and leave you down here in this world and in this dimension. And they will exist forever and live forever because it's going to be exciting to them and it's going to do something for them. What is it? It's the Word of the living God. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and my words are a mystery, and my words are life, and my words are a revelation, and my words are to them that hath that special ear to hear. So then it's so wonderful to be a Christian. I thought about those two boys sitting on the back tonight. I met them just before church. Real fine boys. And as I talked to them, I thought, Lord, these boys, it's in question as to whether they have ever even known anything about spiritual things, let alone had a new birth. And yet they're following men that are supposed to be preachers. They're following men that I know for a fact don't even know where they're going because I've talked to the men. The men don't even know where they're going. And yet the men have people following them. And some of them hundreds of people. And I know for a fact that they don't know. You say, well, you don't know, Brother Pike. Yes, I do know. I've talked with them in my living room. I've talked with them out yonder. I fellowshipped them. I know that they don't know where they're going. As a matter of fact, one of them not too long ago, somebody asked him the question, said, what is Brother Pike preaching? He said, I don't know what the man's saying. He said, I don't know. I can't comment on it. I don't even know. I don't even know what he's saying. But yet he's preaching all over the nation, leading hundreds and thousands of people. Brother, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. Tonight I feel a real slumber at Bethlehem. I feel a real coldness among the people so far as a quickening, so far as a spiritual, energetic, some awakening. It's that year, it's that hour when the others are going to move off and leave you. It's that time when those that are spiritual and those that are born of the Spirit, there's going to come a great separation. And these that are called into this dimension are going to begin to elevate. And they're going to begin to separate. And the churches are going to become very cold, and death is going to move in on them. But these others that have that eternal life is going to move out. And you that don't have this mind of Christ Jesus, you're going to become more hungry for the things of the world. And you're going to become more thirsty for the things of the world. And you're going to feel more empty and more cold and more left out. And feel less of that contact with that great loving Spirit of God. What is it? The days of the Gentiles is closing out. God is bringing it to an end. Let me tell you something. As your pastor, as one that speaks to you, as a minister that loves you, you begin to search and you begin to call on God and you begin to ask God. You begin to check up, confirm your reservation. You begin to make sure. The Bible said, do these things. Make your calling and election sure. Check up. Make your calling sure. Make sure that you're one of the called. Don't be vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind and say, I know that I'm one of them. Make your calling sure. And then God enumerates the things that you should be producing in your life and you should be practicing in your life and what your life should be giving off in the way of spiritual things and spiritual attributes if you really are a child of God. For he that is born of spirit is spirit. Don't let any man deceive you. If you're born of spirit, my brother, you are spirit. If you're born of spirit, my sister, you are spirit. And if you are not spiritual, then you are not born to the Spirit. You can be sure of that. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm born to the Spirit, but I'm not spiritual. If you are not spiritual, you are not born of the Spirit. Now, I realize that there's babes. Little babes don't understand. Like those little fellows that went out a while ago. They don't understand because they don't know. But I'm speaking of people that have heard the gospel and heard the word of God. If you are not spiritual, you are not born again. When a person sets under the word of God and it doesn't affect them and it doesn't burn into their breast and it doesn't quicken them and it doesn't move them, those people are not born again. They are not born again. So it's a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful hour. Even tonight, I thought as I come up here tonight, I feel sure with all the coldness I feel out there, in the lack of quickening and the lack of interest in spiritual things, I feel sure that you haven't seen anything tonight in the way of what took place. But before I even got up here to minister tonight, I watched a great, marvelous thing take place here at Bethlehem tonight, right here in the church. And I thought tonight, such a great, marvelous thing taking place right here. But see, when we're not spiritual, it's like the man Elijah. He was looking at those things, but the people did not see them. They could not see them. Their eyes, they just couldn't see. Having eyes, they could not see spiritual things.
because they did not have spiritual eyes. They could not hear spiritual things because they didn't have spiritual ears. Things are taking place, beloved friend. We need to wake up. Last night I saw a couple of funerals while I was praying. I saw a death, a funeral. I believe there was two because I know that I saw two in the vision. And so far as being two, it could have a meaning as to one thing, but it was definitely two. And I saw two funerals. So, or two deaths. And I believe that I understand it. I hope I do. But there's one thing about it. People are passing away every day. People are passing away. And you know, a lot of times I see those things, and they're not elderly people. Sometimes they're young people. You know, when we think about dying, the first thing we say, yep, Sister so-and-so, she's just about ready to cross over. Brother so-and-so, yep, he can't be long. He's got all kind of grunts. But you know, numbers of times when I see things, it's not elderly people. So you don't know. You don't know who it is. It could be elderly people. It could be young people. But there's one thing about it. I saw something that was happening. And what we need to do, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. I'm going to say this in close. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I just like the good old way, as I said the other night. I just like, you know, I just decide I'd just rather be worldly, and I like doing my thing, and I just too much trouble to pray. I've had people to tell me this. They said it's just too much trouble. I tried, and I just found out it was too much trouble, and I just quit. I just had somebody to come to me yesterday. Either this morning or yesterday. And somebody that had made that very statement. And they said, I sure do need help from God. Now they're wanting God to help them. But they told me that it was too much problem. You know, they tried it just too hard, too much problem. They just nonchalant like said, I just quit. But right now, things ain't going too good. You know, like a young fellow told me today, he said, my daddy said, I ain't no God. He said, we're our own God. I said, yeah, that's all right, you know, to talk like that when you can guzzle down whiskey and when you're big and husky and healthy. But you wait till the pains and the grunts and the moans come. You wait till the heartaches and the sorrows and when you can't get any relief. And then that own God, as you call it, won't be able to do nothing for you. You'll find out you can't heal yourself. Then you'll have respect for a God. And you'll have confidence that there's a God somewhere that somebody else is running the thing and not you. And somebody else rules in the affairs of mankind. So then, folks, my advice to you is to do something. To wake up. A few days ago, I saw something concerning the Macon condition. And I told my wife and I told some brethren, I said, the Lord said that it was going to come into a man's heart to suddenly leave the place where he's at. And God told me what to do about it. That was quite a number of days back. We got a letter yesterday, and the letter was from somebody that was a neighbor there that don't go to the church. But they wrote a letter because they're friends with us. And they was telling us about Brother Andre, the priest. How do you know him? He joined the Church of God. And they also related in the letter that this particular person that we said would suddenly take a notion to leave, that it would come into his heart to leave, said that he had made the statement that he felt he was about finished where he was. And was planning to make a change. Why did that happen? Because somewhere God talks. Amen. Now, why did God tell you, Brother Pike? Because He knows I'm concerned. He knows I have the responsibility of souls. Whereas Paul said, take Him the oversight. And God wanted to have something and somebody ready. And He wanted me to make sure all was well. God is doing something for those that want to follow Him. Let's all stand together. Let me encourage you to follow Jesus. We sang the song, I'll follow, Lord, I will follow Thee. Whithersoever He leadeth, I will follow. It's like Brother Coon was telling me about a vision he had, I believe of his mother and brother, I believe it was. It was of a mother and a brother. The mother pleading with the son to do something for Jesus, but he said, I don't have time. He started off in a hurry, but all of a sudden he crumbled in the mother's arm. He was dead. You know, the Bible said, take time to be holy. God doesn't ask us if we have time, folks. All of our time belongs to Him. The Bible said you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Did it ever occur to you that you didn't bring yourself into this world? And that you're not the one that created yourself? And that you have nothing to do with life, nor yourself? That a supreme being somewhere decided He wanted a human being called you? And so He made that you and He put you into the earth because He wanted to do with you what He wanted to do. And He wanted you to act the way He wanted you to act because He made you for Himself and for His pleasure you was made. And then having gotten lost off from Him because of your self-will, He came all the way down from heaven to look for you and to seek and to save you from death, spilt His blood at Calvary, came looking for you, and died as a human being and suffered death to keep you from having to go through it. Because He loved you and made you for Himself, and He didn't want you to die because He didn't make you to die. He made you to live that He might enjoy you, because you are the only you that there is. Did that ever occur to you? See, there's no other you. There's many people in the world, but there's no other you. You're the only you that there is. Many, many people in the world, but there'll never be another you, though many generations may come and go. If you die, and if you're lost, and if God loses you, and you have to be destroyed, and the Bible said the temple that's defiled, God will destroy it, because life cannot dwell in it. Therefore, it is a total loss. If life cannot dwell in it, it cannot continue to exist. For God made you that life might dwell in you. That's the only existence you have, is life relating to your being. If you defile the temple, life cannot exist in it. And God must destroy you. Think what a loss that is. Though millions of people have come and gone, and though God may have millions of people more, He'll never have you. Never. Now, I've got a number of children, but if I lost one of my children in this life, though I had all the rest, there'd be an empty spot. There'd be a grievance. There'd be a hurt. Not one of them children can make up for that other one. I would have a horrible loss. Because there'll never be another you. You are special to God. You know, that's one thing that makes this so beautiful. You go to the movies, you see the main player. Everybody admires the main player. You know, he's the superstar. He gets all the attention. He's the everything. But that's the beautiful part about being a Christian and being in God. See, you're the main player, and nobody else but you. Because every individual has their own sovereignty and their own world. And they are the main player in their world. They're the superstar of their world. whatever they are and whatever they do, that's the way it'll be throughout eternity in their world. They're the main player. Nobody can ever take their place. The way that they play the role of their life is just the way it'll be forever. And God will reward them accordingly. He won't reward them according to what I do, nor will He reward me according to what they do. He will reward each individual according to what each individual does. So it's a beautiful thing to be the preeminent one. It's up to you to do what you will. God, who is no respecter of person, will give to you freely as He has given to another. Share with you freely as He has shared with another. Do what you will, do what you want to. He just asks you to follow the rules of the book. Every man that entereth into a race doesn't win the race, the writer said. But he that runneth according to the rules. This is the rule book. Run according to the rules and you can be the winner. So then, it is a terrible tragedy, a terrible loss when an individual passes away. Because there's no replacement. No replacement. They say that Jesus actually died of a broken heart. Think of the loss. Think of the terrible loss. Jesus said, "You won't come to me that I might give you life. I'm the Prince of Life, and I've come that you might have life. That's my mission into the world. I came for no other reason. It's just that I saw that the devil had polluted and perverted your mind. And I come down here to correct the disorder of it, to give you life and to restore life, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, that's my mission into the world. For I am the Prince of Life. But you won't come to me so that you can have life. Therefore, what can I do? For everyone that cometh to me, or God giveth me, I will raise him up in the last day. And Father, I've not lost a one of them, Jesus said, that come to me. Not a one of them that you've given me. I haven't lost a one of them, every one you've given me. I will raise him up in the last day. Let's sing this little chorus together. It's sad, folks, that you're not more spiritual. It's sad that you're not more interested. It's sad that you don't understand more. You say, "But Brother Pike, we come to church. Look at the people in this church." And you say, "We're not interested? Why then would we be here?" Well, there's a lot of reasons why people go to church. Some out of routine. The Bible speaks of people out of will worship. Some because they are afraid not to go to church. A lot of reasons. Then there are those that go to church for the benefit of the Word and the benefit of the knowledge of Christ, that are seeking and searching after immortality and that are looking for life, that are trying to escape the passions of the body and trying to escape the flames of the burning fire, that want to have eternal life, that have the greatest kind of concern and the greatest kind of interest. That's why the Bible said, "Examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. See if your confidence is in the Word of God. See what you're doing. See why you're here. Find out." Let's sing this song, "Into My Heart." Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again, can you? Into my heart. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's slip our hands up now. Always there's the beginning of a service and there's always an end. There's always a day that comes, it's time to go to church, and then there's always a day comes that we're not in church. There's always a time when one must be born. There's always a time when one must die. There's a time to live and there's a time to die. There's a time to be young and there's a time to be old. There's a time to be strong and there's a time to be weak. There's a time to be sick. There's a time to be healthy. There's a time to prosper. There's a time to lose. But friend, whatever it might be in your life, or what time of season of life that it might be, there's one thing for sure. If you haven't experienced the other side of life, you are due to experience it. Whether good or bad, your day is coming. Your day will come. God will give you a good day if you'll just ask Him. If it's been a good day for you, and if you're negligent, you will find a bad day. As I so often say, people being a sovereignty in one man's mind, it is a world. In another man's mind, it is a world. Every person has their own world. Your world consists of your thoughts and your mind. Your world might be a world of fear and frustration, anxiety, of worry, despondency, despair, lack of hope and lack of faith. Somebody else's world might be a world of faith and zeal, of confidence, of joy and peace. In your world, it might be thundering and lightning. It might be an awful storm. In someone else's world, it might be a springtime of resurrection and the birds singing and the little bees buzzing and the sweet smell of the honeysuckle. Every man and woman lives in their own world. God can come into your world if you will ask Him into your world. And it can be just as big as you want it to be. You can think yourself into any part of the world. Think yourself into the heavens. Think yourself anywhere. You can think yourself into anything, to be anything. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I will feed him the fruits of his thinking, of his thoughts. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, because that's heaven. If you want a world that's heaven, then you must think heavenly thoughts. Your mind must be a heavenly mind. If you want that great, wonderful world of God, if you just want to be in the world, then God has placed the world in your heart. You will think worldly thoughts. Your thoughts will be on the world and the things of the world and the passions of the body. But it's up to you as to what you want. God, deliver me from everything that is unlike Jesus. God, deliver me from all things that is worldly. God, take the world clear out of my heart. And let the kingdom of God be within my heart. Let the mind of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, be within my heart. And let the mind of Lucifer, that got into Eve's heart through the tree of knowledge, let his kingdom, which is his mind, be taken out of my heart, out of my life. Oh God, help me. God, lead me, and God, teach me. God, purge me, and God, cleanse me. God, help me to be concerned, and help me to be spiritual. Oh God, help me. This ought to be the prayer of every person. This ought to be the longing of your heart. Because, beloved friend, There's coming a time when you're going to need Jesus.